the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collado. And we have Josie Duke in the studio joining us early today. Hey, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it feel to be a Monday?
It always feels good to be a Monday. Start of a new week. Yes. How about you?
Warm and toasty.
Well,
Damian, can I tell you, yesterday I saw a snowball stand, and that line had to be a mile long.
Oh.
And they were probably just serving grape. You know what I mean? It didn't matter.
I think everybody gets some shaved ice.
That's all they cared about. That's what kind of weekend it's been. So mostly inside.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Mm. You can get things done there too.
Yeah.
So, like prayer. Mm-hmm. And which is what we're going to do right now.
Let's do it.
Since we're inside, let's do it. In name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, teach us to be generous. Teach us to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for a reward, except that in knowing that we are doing your will. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Anyone who's been to Manresa knows that prayer pretty much by heart. St. Ignatius of Loyola, his feast day is today, and that's one of his prayers.
There we go. A little while later, we're going to have Father Alex Harb of St. Agnes Church and St. Charbel Maronite Mission in Baton Rouge is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about the upcoming blessings and the first mass of their new church. So they got that going underway. Josie Duke, who's sitting right here by me, is a Catholic, a theologian, and teacher at St. George School in Baton Rouge, and is going to talk about preparing for upcoming school year and tips for both teachers and parents. You know, my forehead is breaking out in sweat, and I don't even have kids in school. And Alan Migliorato, co-author of Falling Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today, is going to join us. Damien's going to be talking to him a little bit later on. And then Becky Eldred's Ignatian spirituality leader and Catholic author talks about the feast day of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and that is today.
Exactly.
So while we're celebrating it, we're going to be talking to her about that and talking about what's going on with her.
Yeah, and learn a little bit more about St. Iggy. In the meantime, it's been hotter than a jalapeno pepper. Yes, outside, and it's going to get even hotter, folks. If you thought it's been hot, today's the day. 103 is the projected high. Heat index over 113, depending on where you are.
And
no real rain in sight. 10% chance of rain if you're lucky. Also, if you're lucky, you'll get that north-northwest wind, which is blowing at about 7 miles an hour. That'll be about as warm of a breeze.
Like a convection oven, right?
Yeah, yeah, get a little breeze. So it's pretty hot. Probably be the hottest day of the year, if not ever. Could break a record of all time in Louisiana. By the way, to make you feel good, Fairbanks, Alaska, it's 59, the high today 74. I understand Moisan Airport is booked up. You can't get a flight out for the next 2 days to head to Fairbanks. Temperatures, in the meantime, are going to remain 100 plus for the entire week. Yep, the entire week. So get ready. If you're lucky, one more lucky chance. Friday, you might get some of that rain, about a 40% chance in some areas.
Wow.
So keep your fingers crossed. Temperatures in and around the area, just plumb hot. New Orleans, 83 already. Baton Rouge, it's 82. Home of Thibodeau, 81. Covington and Gulfport, both reporting 78 degrees. Only place really along the Gulf Coast getting rain outside of the Home of Thibodeau area every now and then is Mobile and Biloxi in our listening area.
Time to head east.
You could do that. 5 after the hour, folks. Stick around. We'll be talking to Father Alex Harb in just a moment, and your gospel is right around the corner.
A
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables, to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world."
Thank you, Father Chris, for the gospel. And, you know, like a mustard seed, that's what's happening here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. The Marianite order is really starting to grow from just a small planted seed idea to even having a new church. Father Alex Harb was supposed to be with us this morning. We're having a little problem getting a hold of him, but I do want to inform you guys really about what's taking place. They're going to have the blessing and first mass of their new home, which is on Jefferson Highway in Baton Rouge. That's going to be on August 15th. Now, it's the Assumption of Mary, but the event is going to be Tuesday, August 15th at 7 o'clock. That's when they're going to bless their new church, and I think that's great.
That is exciting to know that they have a new church. You know how long they've been working on that?
They've been working on it for quite a while.
Yeah.
And they even had a dinner to help defray some of the cost to build that took to build the church. In fact, Chef John Foles.
Oh, really?
They had it at White Oak Estate and Gardens, and they raised quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. In fact, their debt is just over $120,000, give or take, right now.
So all right.
They're whittling away at it pretty fast, but that dinner was fantastic, raised a lot of money. And at the same time, there'll be some relics that are going to be in the church as well.
Oh, no kidding.
So that'll be nice, and I'm sure one of them will be St. Charbel.
You never know, right?
I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah. And one other thing that they're doing.
Have you been to a Maronite Mass, by the way?
No, I have not.
It's incredible. It is incredible.
What is the difference?
There's a lot more... what is the word? There's a lot of bells, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot more procession, incense. It is beautiful.
Sort of like somewhat of a Latin Mass.
I would highly recommend you go just to check it out, you know. Yeah. And I mean, it parallels our Mass, you know. And, well, for that matter, it is our Mass, isn't it? It's just done with that different culture.
A different culture.
Just beautiful.
Okay.
Just beautiful.
Well, good. I just want to put a plug. I know it's a ways away, but put it on your calendar. The Lebanese Festival, which is going to be a big fundraiser for them as well.
I bet the food is good.
And that is going to be October 14th. And it's going to be to help raise money for the Charbel Marianite Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. So pretty cool stuff going on. Just wanted to get that out there. So if you want to attend their very first Mass, it's going to be Tuesday, August 15th at 7 o'clock. Location is on Jefferson Highway. If you want more information, you can go to ccmedia.live to get all the details.
They've been having Masses at other churches throughout the Diocese of Baton Rouge, you know, at a lot of different places. But I'm just excited for them. They have their own location now.
You know, they do. You know what else is happening on August 15th?
No.
Fête du Détache.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I love the Fête du Détache. I read an article in Country Roads magazine where some lady stumbled upon it and was very moved. She wasn't even Catholic. She was traveling here from Texas.
And how did she stumble upon it?
She was down there looking at the Evangeline Oak at St. Martinville, and then suddenly here come these boats.
Yeah.
Up there.
Yeah.
She's like, what is going on?
The river.
She's never seen it. Look, only in South Louisiana, right?
Right. Well, yeah. You know, Father Michael Champagne has done a great job of getting that and bringing it to the forefront. The Knights of Columbus are going to also be participating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the knights on bikes, they lead the way on road-wise.
They better, you know, not going, yeah, they better
but
just stay on the road.
But they follow along with the procession.
All right, good.
And it's going to begin in New Iberia, and it's going to end in Franklin. So they're
Franklin, okay.
Yeah, they're going to be traveling a pretty good ways, again, to learn more about that and how you can get your over 100 boats.
Yes,
already
it's so beautiful.
In the parade, or the procession, I guess you would call it.
The Statue of Mary, behind it, there's a boat with a big bell on it with the incense, and then the monstrous is on the mm-hmm. with Christ on the other boat. It's a Eucharistic procession, but on the water. It is so incredible to be on the banks and to watch that go by. Can't recommend it enough.
They're also going to be celebrating in conjunction with that the 258th anniversary of the arrivals of the Acadians to
250?
Acadiana.
Wow.
258 years ago.
Okay.
And anyway, I just wanted to pass that on.
Okay.
It's a fun day, and it's a spiritual day in the at the same time, so that's good.
Not only that, I mean, this is the Eucharistic awareness, for the next 2 years. Josie, mm-hmm. we've been talking about that when you have come on, talking about that. And gosh, what a wonderful way to celebrate. You
absolutely.
Know?
That's right. It's all part of the Eucharistic revival.
It's all part of it.
And you know, when you were talking, Damien, about the beautiful procession on the water, and Dave, you know, you were throwing in your memories of the last time you were there.
Mm-hmm.
What immediately sprung to mind was the sacrament of baptism. When our Lord stepped into the water of the River Jordan, he sanctified the water.
Ah.
And yet here is this beautiful festival with boats parading down, not so much parading, but processing down
mm-hmm.
the river with Christ as their head and, you know, asking Our Lady to intercede. It's just, you know, you have just so much rich symbolism in that. It's just, and I regret that I've never been able to go.
Mm-hmm.
But just listening to you two describe it, it's like, okay,
Will school be in? On the 15th?
Oh, absolutely.
What a great field trip.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see.
That's something to think about.
Yeah.
That's something to think about, absolutely.
Haul those kids over there and let them see what it's like.
Right, it's a Tuesday.
Stand on the banks of the Teche. You'll learn a lot.
Absolutely.
You could even on the way there tell them about the Assumption, and on the way back, tell them about the Acadians, how they got
there.
Well, I'm not here to do your lesson plan.
I'll let the eighth grade social studies teacher know about Louisiana history lessons.
He's about to pack your lunch. He's about to.
I have a ton of ideas. I just don't implement any of them.
Yeah, no, he just gives them all to us. Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, one other thing, you know, the revival, I should say the Eucharistic Congress is taking place in Indianapolis, and that's going to be next year, July 17th to the 21st, so just less than a year from now. And you can now get your passes if you want to attend. There's going to be about 80,000, so you better hurry up, though, because that'll go quick. Go to eucharisticcongress.org if you'd like to go to Indianapolis and participate in that.
Yeah.
All right, folks, 15 after the hour, you're listening to Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 31st. Today we celebrate St. Ignatius of Loyola. The founder of the Society of Jesus was on his way to military fame and fortune when a cannonball shattered his leg. Because there were no books of romance on hand during his convalescence, Ignatius read a life of Christ and lives of the saints, thus beginning his long, difficult turning to Christ. After reporting a vision of Mary, he made a pilgrimage to her shrine at Montserrat, remaining nearby for almost a year. During this period of conversion, Ignatius began to write down material that later became his greatest work, the Spiritual Exercises. In 1534, at age 43, Ignatius and six others vowed to live in poverty and chastity. Ignatius was elected to serve as the first general of the new society. Obedience was to be the prominent virtue, to assure the effectiveness and mobility of his men. All activity was to be guided by a true love of the Church and unconditional obedience to the Holy Father. A true mystic, Ignatius centered his spiritual life on the Trinity, Christ, and the Eucharist. He died in 1556 and was canonized in 1622. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
And 18 past the hour on Wake Up. I am David Dawson along with Damian Collada. We have Josie Duke in the studio. She is a Catholic theologian, and moreover, more importantly, she's a teacher at St. George School in Baton Rouge. And Josie, it's hot outside, but we're not sweating because of the weather. We're sweating because what's coming up?
It's that time of year, everybody. It's that time of year. I thought I would just, you know, share a few little tips and tricks for how to start the school year off a little more successfully, for whether you're a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, student, whatever.
How about just an on-site observer?
That'll work, too. Okay. That'll work, too. I came across this quote by St. Bernard of Clairvaux, which is so beautiful. It actually comes from his commentary on the Song of Songs.
Okay.
And it's appropriate for anybody. Mm. The man who is wise, therefore, will see his life as more like a reservoir than a canal. The canal simultaneously pours out whatever it receives. Mm. The reservoir retains the water until it is filled, then discharges the overflow without loss to itself. Today, there are many in the church who act like canals. The reservoirs are far too rare. You too must learn to await this fullness before pouring out your gifts. Do not try to be more generous than God.
Wow.
You cannot give what you do not have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how do we go about doing that? How do we become reservoirs? Okay. Well, the first thing we need to remember, and sometimes it's hard. You know, you've got to get from point A to point B to point C. You've got to be in two places at one time. Administrators are asking, you know, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, God, yes. You remember those days, Damian.
Boy, hey.
Still happening.
They still happen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now that you have grandkids, nothing changes.
Nothing changes. That's right.
Yeah.
So what we first have to remember is, and I'm preaching to the choir here, keep him in the forefront of every moment of your day, as difficult as that can be. You know, you've got the phone calls, you've got the emails, you've got the meetings, you've got the concerned parent, you've got the teacher who's contacting you saying, hey, I'm noticing something with little Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him in the forefront all the time. Offer up everything, every joy, every suffering. You know, we make time for God, right? We can't say, well, I don't have time for that. Well, you have time for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got time to scroll on your phone. You've got time to do this or that. Make time for him. We're in the second year of the Eucharistic revival, right?
Yeah.
How about going to adoration as a family?
Wow.
And dedicating your school year to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
I mean, that's
beautiful.
Beautiful.
That's, in fact, my wife Lisa and I attended a rosary last night at our parish, and it was for the intention of the school year starting. Well, it was mostly for the intention of our children, which was, I mean, it was a broader brushstroke.
Yeah.
But what our children are going through nowadays, boy, they really need prayer. So this is a good time of year to do that.
And, you know, it's important for our children to understand that you don't need to put so much pressure on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot do any more than what God is asking you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So don't hold yourself to a higher standard than he's holding you to.
Right.
And, you know, we all do that. You know, I'm a perfectionist. I married a perfectionist. Pray for my children because they had no chance. Right. So we have to remember that we cannot be more generous than God. We cannot expect perfection of ourselves. That doesn't mean that we don't try to do our very best every day. We absolutely do, because we owe that to him.
Yeah.
To give our gifts and our talents for the betterment of his kingdom,
mm-hmm.
for the forwarding of his kingdom. But don't put so much pressure on yourself, whether you're a parent, a student, a teacher. It really is okay.
So what you're talking about is throughout the day, just keeping Christ in front of you and giving him a lot of your issues.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know, like you said, that's hard to do, but at the same time, that'll give you peace throughout the day, right?
It will. In fact, you know, there's a prayer I learned through a novena to the Divine Providence.
Okay.
And it's a very simple prayer. Oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you completely. Take care of everything.
That is not easy.
And leave it alone.
Yeah.
Leave it with him. Stop just taking it back out of his hands, because we're so good at that, right?
And I'm
guilty. You know, well, maybe if I did this, and maybe if I did that, and, you know, maybe if I think of it this way.
Or maybe God wants me to do this and that.
All right.
And we hadn't really listened.
Yeah. Because we keep talking at him.
Yep.
And we don't talk to him. And even when we do talk to him, we never shut up. Stop talking. Just listen.
Yeah.
And sometimes all he wants is for you to sit in the silence and know that he's there. You may not feel anything or hear anything, but you know he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So don't Don't fret. He's there. Take a step back. Lord, what do you want me to learn from this today? You know, you get that email, you have that meeting, and it could be contentious, or maybe it's not. You know how we blow things up in our head before anything's ever happened?
We'll make them that way. We'll read them a certain way.
Right. And they're like, oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. Yeah, and you're like, well, I've been stressing myself out for 12 hours over this, and that's not how we do it all the time.
Yeah.
Lord, what do you want me to learn? Because it's not always about you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not always about us.
So how do they do that besides possibly going to adoration, even when they get to adoration? Some parents have never been, more or less
you're
the
right.
children.
It's,
or maybe the children actually could teach the parent in some
that
cases.
That's true.
Because they go to adoration
right.
in school. So, but the question is, what does one do when a family goes there? Do they all pray the same prayer? Do they do different things? What do you recommend? Because there's going to be different levels.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I recommend whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do at that moment.
Okay.
Don't overanalyze it. So if you would like to go as a family and pray a certain prayer together, absolutely, you can try that. But of course, an adoration chapel is silent.
No, right.
So you can't, you know, really do
as
a whole
long
lot
as all
out loud.
What I was getting at was all the children can read, assuming.
Of course.
And they
course.
Read that prayer and then reflect on it or
meditate
on it. Or, and the or is, okay, what else do you
the
recommend?
The or is... Do what
just
Saint
be
Jean,
silent.
Just do what Saint Jean Vianney did.
Yeah.
I look at him.
He looks at
and
me.
And he looks at me.
Yeah.
And
I've
that's
seen
all you
that.
Do.
I've seen families come in to adoration. Now, Damien, here's the deal. They don't stay long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but to come in and just to sit there in silence for 10 minutes, that's not enough time for the kids to get restless anyway. And so it's quiet, and then they see their parents praying and such, and then they get a little quiet, and then the parents are like, okay, let's go.
Right.
And that was beautiful. It was it was really a nice thing
and
to
what,
say.
And what some people don't realize is, well, I can only do 5 minutes in the Adoration Chapel. It's hardly worth going. Okay. Is that how your mother feels when you call her?
Right.
Is she saying, look, if you can't spend at least half an hour with me, don't bother calling me. I mean, your mother would never say that to you. She's grateful for the 5 minutes.
With yours?
Well,
she says an hour, doesn't she? I'm kidding.
I know. Some of our mothers would like more than 5 minutes, but
she's in heaven now, and I still have to at least talk 30 minutes with her.
I understand. But the Lord is no different. If all you can spend with him is 5 minutes, spend the 5 minutes. It's the best 5 minutes of your day. Don't stress about, well, I can't be there for 10 or 20 or 30. Then just be there for when you can be there.
Right.
And sometimes, even if your duties do not allow you to actually physically go to the chapel, there's this great thing called YouTube, and they actually have live feeds from Eucharistic Adoration Chapels of just the monstrance.
Wow.
And you can blow it up full screen, and you can just sit there and meditate and pray to him and clear your mind and say, all right, Lord, what do you want from me
right
now? Not tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do for you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we're so wrapped up in what can you do for me? It's like, what can I do for you today?
Interesting.
And the peace that you get is what you need.
Yeah.
So you can deal with the children who are upset. You can deal with anything going on in your life. You know, we think of the school year, we're all bright and shiny and new shoes, new uniforms, new backpacks, new this, new that. The kids look amazing. They're so excited.
Mm-hmm.
We look great on the outside, but on the inside,
I'm requesting,
you know, maybe you could go to adoration together as a family. What about going to confession together as a family?
Wow.
And cleaning up the inside as well as the shiny, bright, beautiful outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about getting your sense of peace and getting that attitude adjusted just enough to where you're like, okay, we can do this. It's going to be a good year. No matter what happens, you have the Lord in front of you. You're receiving those sacraments, you're going to Mass, you're going to adoration. I mean, you can't do anything better, honestly.
That's true. You're starting as a student. You're starting off the new year with an A. You're starting off the new year with a clean slate,
right? Right.
Why not do it spiritually, too?
Absolutely.
And that way, maybe it'll get to, what a great idea. What a great idea.
Y'all ever hear of Dustin Poirier?
No.
He was the lightweight UFC champion. You know,
I have heard of him.
Okay.
Out of Lafayette?
Yeah, out of Lafayette.
Yes,
exactly.
Uh-huh.
Well, he lost Saturday night, and so he lost his title. But in the process, at a press conference after it was over with, he said, when things are going good, be grateful. And when things aren't going your way, be gracious.
Wow.
And I thought that was pretty powerful, especially from an athlete. You could tell he's well-grounded. He's got a foundation that he supports in the Lafayette area
athletes,
as well.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was words of wisdom, to say the
absolutely.
Least. You know, you could, by living by that, which
sure.
is a lot of what you're talking about, Josie,
absolutely.
Is the fact that we should be grateful almost throughout the day. And,
when we're
going to have some ups and downs. And when we are in the downs, we still have to be gracious.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, sometimes humility is our Lord's favorite virtue. I mean, just look at Our Lady, look at our Lord, right? That's what's going to get you to heaven is humility. But sometimes those lessons are just a smidge painful.
Yeah.
And they take you down a couple of pegs. Be grateful.
Yes.
It's hard to be grateful, but we must, because he's trying to get us to heaven with him.
True words of wisdom from a teacher. So, I mean, you're right there in the trenches. And Damien and I are on the sidelines, so we know what to pray for.
Thank you.
You know, and we got your back. We're gonna keep praying for you as this year gets started, and pray for your students as well.
Thank you. Please do. Please do.
Thank you, Josie. It's been great having you back in the studio.
Thank you. I missed you guys.
We're going to do it again.
Thank you.
Next holiday you got, you're here. So, to let you know. All right, when we come back, Damien's going to be talking to Alan Migliorato. And speaking of kids, speaking of teenagers, we got a little theme going on today, don't we? All right, it is 7:29 on Wake Up.
After the hour, happy Monday, everyone. Last day of July, and the year is just flying by.
It is.
But somebody who's not flying by too fast is our good friend Alan Migliorato, because he has a book out called Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. More importantly, we're going to focus today on World Youth Day. You know, it begins tomorrow, and it'll go through the end of the week, and the Pope's getting fired up about it. A million plus youngsters, teens, as well as young adults are there already, and Alan and I are going to chat about it. Good morning, Al.
Hey, good morning, guys. Always happy to be here.
Yeah, so it's been 4 years since the last World Youth Day, and primarily because of COVID, but all that's behind us now. Looking forward, what is the real purpose? I know John Paul II began it years ago, but what is today's purpose, I guess? Has it formed into something different since you deal with teens often?
I love what John Paul II said, what St. John Paul II said. He, in 1984, obviously, you know, started this. 1984 and 85 was kind of like a trial run, had it in Rome, and then realized, like, this is important. So he, listen to this quote from JP2, or St. JP2, sorry. So he tells the College of Cardinals in 1985, he says, "The whole church, in union with the successor of Peter, must be more and more committed globally to youth and young adults, and to their anxieties and concerns, and to their openness, hopes, and expectations." That hasn't changed. I don't think that the mission of World Youth Day has changed. I think that maybe sometimes we look at youth and we think, you know, well, they're just young, you know, and they can't do anything. And I love, you know, we're in Timothy it says, you know, Paul says, don't let anybody, you know, make you feel like you're worth less because you're young, basically, that's my paraphrase, but you know, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And we have, and the purpose really of World Youth Day is to put trust in our youth, right? To celebrate them, to put trust in them.
Yeah.
And then it's to make a pilgrimage and to really encounter the whole Catholic community worldwide, to see, like, there's other youth out there that have the same struggles, that have the same hopes and desires, that have the same, you know, temptations, that have the same spirit, and that are willing to put themselves forth, and, you know, and be holy. And we're not talking about just like the weird kids, you know. And it's like, I hate to say it like that, but it's like, oh, well, that kid's a little weird, so obviously he's going to be. No, we're talking about, like, and that's a horrible thing to say, because who are we to judge how somebody's weird or not? Like, what is weird? You know, like, that we're there to express our faith and our concerns about the church and the growth and the direction it's going. Youth want to understand that. And a lot of times we say, well, you know, the youth are the church of tomorrow. No, they're the church of today, and we need to put trust in them and let them be leaders in the church and give them opportunities to lead. Because we always wonder, well, how come there's no young kids in church? You know, as soon as they get their confirmation, they're gone. Well, maybe that's because we don't let them have their faith. We make them have our faith, and we don't let them ask questions, and we don't let them fail, you know, and we don't let them express their faith, you know, in ways that maybe we're not used to seeing it expressed. And there's just so much to our youth that we've got to start celebrating and letting them, you know, take the reins and say, look, you guys need to be in charge of this someday. So what would you do to lead?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what the Pope's mission is to really hear. And that's something we don't do very often as adults and as parents. Sometimes we just don't want to hear because we're like, well, I've had that experience. I've been through this already. I already know that, you know, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. So I don't really need to hear what you have to say. You need to listen to what I have to say. And that's a huge mistake because there's different perspectives. And maybe if we're not willing to learn as parents, then we're not willing to lead.
Yeah, wow. Well, important to that is in order to understand, you have to be a listener and to comprehend what the other person is saying. And so we have to take the time to do that. I think Pope Francis that's his goal for this, for sure. He's laying the groundwork for the future Catholics. And at the same time, kind of leaving his legacy too, whatever that may be, before it's all over with. But I love the fact that it's really a powerful moment for evangelization for our young people. And you nailed it. I think, Alan, a lot of times we try to get them to conform to what we think the Catholic Church is when they're celebrating it in maybe a different way, but they still believe in God and they love God and they love one another. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, there's a parent that I know here, and I might have mentioned her before, where she only really goes to like a Latin Mass, and she kind of looks down at, you know, any other kind of Mass, and I've talked with her about that, you know, and we laugh about it, but I'm like, you know, I'm not speaking Latin to you now, but I'm still telling you how much God loves you, you know, and so like we laugh about it, but like her daughter was raised where, you know, if she's not at a Latin Mass, well, then she's not really at a Mass, and so now this girl is at college, goes to church, but sits in the parking lot. Yeah. So that her mom thinks she's at church because she's got her on that Life 360 app, yeah. But she's not going in the building. She'll just sit out in front of the church because she doesn't like the Latin Mass. So then she goes to, like, now she goes to a non-denominational church with her friends because she needs Christ, and she doesn't feel that she's receiving him being forced to have her mother's, you know, faith. And wow. And I do understand both perspectives there. It's like we want to guide our children to Christ. But then when we put these you know, these hoops for them to jump through to get to Christ, that's not bringing them to Christ. That's bringing them to our faith. And our faith sometimes can be pharisaical. You know, we can act like the Pharisees and say, well, you know, if you're not doing this, you're not really doing
right.
Right. And sometimes we got to get over ourselves and say, look, you know, are you coming to Christ? And not saying don't come to a Catholic Mass because you need to get to a Catholic Mass, period.
Yeah.
Because that's where we receive the Eucharist. But, like, as far as, you know, saying it in Latin or Greek or Italian, like, come on. You know, and yeah. I know I get a lot of grief from that when I say things like that, but I don't care. I'm speaking with the Holy Spirit, so like I think that's what we're called to do is to call each other out and to listen.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And so what do you think the benefits will be for those attending and for those watching? Because you'll be able to pick this event up the next 6 days on the Halo app. You can go to EWTN. We'll be broadcasting it throughout, on television at least, throughout the week. Also, Catholic News Association is also carrying the event as well live. So you'll have access to it even if you can't attend. But what is the overall benefit you think they'll come away with, the teens the youth?
From a really personal perspective, we've got 12 pilgrims, right, going to World Youth Day from my parish. And a couple of them are really not real strong believers. A couple of them have drifted away from the faith. And here's what I think the benefit is. Number one, it's more than a retreat. This is a worldwide perspective that they're going to achieve. And when they hear friends say, well, you know, the Catholic Church is not really what it used to be, and it's changing, and it's not strong, take a look around you. You know, take a look around. We are just as powerful and more so than it ever has been because we're founded on Christ. And I think this gives them that perspective of Catholic community worldwide. It really opens up for a youth that's attending this. It opens up their perspective to more than just their small little world where everything revolves around them. And it lets them see the struggles and concerns and strengths of others, and that really feeds them. For us watching it, it should be really motivational for us to see that our youth are still flocking to Christ. And it, even though it doesn't look like that at times, that there's still hope. So watching World Youth Day, if you have the Halo app or if you go on EWTN and see some of the highlights, just be encouraged and know that there's hope out there for our youth. And, you know, maybe next time you see a young person at church, just encourage them by saying, hey, I'm really happy to see you here at church. It's awesome. And even if you don't know them, and that might make you uncomfortable, and if it does, good.
Right. And this event is for 16 to 35-year-olds. I'm sure there will be a few younger and a few older. But the point is, that is the focal point of World Youth Day. The theme is Mary Arose and Went in Haste. I like that because a lot of young people, that's kind of how they live their lives today.
That's how they live, right?
And the other thing is there's going to be 500 free events taking place in and around Lisbon, Portugal during World Youth Day that they'll be able to go to, including there's going to be a display of relics of St. John Paul II, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Therese. They're going to have relics set up everywhere. So kids, this could be the first time they're actually seeing a relic, and how beautiful that will be. So, Alan, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and insight on World Youth Day with our listeners today.
Okay, God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Yeah. All right, my brother. Yes, World Youth Day, Lisbon, Portugal, starting tomorrow through the 6th of August. All right, folks, don't go too far. We've got more coming your way on Wake Up.
Past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collada. And today is the feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And boy, what a wonderful guest to have on this feast day. Becky Eldridge, Ignatian spirituality leader and Catholic author, is going to talk to us today about St. Ignatius. Good morning.
Good morning, David, and good morning, everybody. Happy feast day.
Happy feast day. What are you doing on this special day? I mean, you're all about this.
Well, I can tell you already, one thing will be talking to people. I've had so many texts and emails already of just friends from the Ignatian community.
Yeah. Tell us right now, as far as Ignatian spirituality, what do you do?
What do I do? So, first and foremost, I'm a spiritual director, which I just such a beautiful gift. So I walk with people, listening to them and their prayer, and just help them continue to grow closer to God. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of retreat work and have done retreat work for, almost 25 years now. Mm-hmm. And the new thing that is I'm in the process of happening that's about to be coming out into the world is I'm founding a nonprofit called Ignatian Ministries, which is going to be, we're super excited, very unexpected, didn't think God would call me to this, but it is a home of accompaniment. And our mission and really our vision is to help renew the people of the church by teaching them prayer and discernment so that they can pray it, live it, and also lead others in it.
Okay. And when does this get started? When do you start?
We are starting on a special day. Uh-huh. Well, it's not Ignatius's feast day. It's August 15th.
August 15th.
That's a popular day for
what
sure.
What a day, huh? Everything's going on that day.
It's a big day. There's just something small, you know, but Mary has been such an I love Mother Mary so much, and Ignatius had such a love of Mary, and my husband and I had an opportunity in the fall to make an Ignatian pilgrimage, and one of the things that stood out to both of us the most was how deep Ignatius's love was of our Mother Mary. Just every place of significance when he was making a pivot or a deeper commitment was in front of, you know, a statue of Mother Mary or at a shrine, at a church named after her. And so it just feels very fitting to bring this forward, entrusting this ministry into her hands.
So this pilgrimage you went on, where did you go? I mean, were you in the footsteps of St. Ignatius or where did you go?
Yes, it was so amazing. Mm-hmm. So we just to be on the ground of where so much of the spirituality that has helped me deepen and live my Catholic faith and in my relationship with God. And so we got to go see Loyola where he was born and where his whole conversion happened as he was healing, you know, in the bed. So I always call it, I got to see the birthplace of discernment.
Yes, where he began to read the wrong books, according to him, but where it led him was incredible.
It was incredible. And yeah. To just see that, and even to understand, y'all, that I didn't know there was a chapel dedicated to Mary in his castle.
Wow.
And which was, I know, I had, and for all the studying and everything I had done, I had no idea that there was a chapel right outside where his bed was, which was just neat to see. And so we got to see that. We went to Montserrat where he laid his sword down and
wow.
at the, you know,
where
foot of the Black Madonna.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I've seen pictures of a cave where he, talk about that. Did you go there?
I did. I was about to say that was the most profound experience. When I walked into the church, because there's a church built around the cave now, and when I stood there, y'all, you knew you were in holy ground.
Wow.
Like, and I could feel the Holy Spirit so big in me. I mean, I immediately, just tears of consolation started coming down my face. And to go into the cave, and on the walls of the cave, there's two crosses that he carved, and you can put your hand like in the crosses, and one of them is larger, which was, and then there was a smaller one, and his whole semblance was always wanting to keep things for the greater glory of God, right? Making sure all of his work, all of his life was always oriented towards God. And so for me to be in that cave and just to remember how much what Ignatius gave our entire world is a pathway to God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was just so overwhelmed thinking about how just the gift of his pathway of God in my own life and in my marriage and in our family, but then how many people have been impacted
by
this pathway.
Right.
You know?
I know a lot of people that have, especially on the retreats and such, and how it affected and changes their lives. But what happened to, I don't know, what did he do in that cave?
In the cave, so he spent over a year in the cave, living and praying, going to work in the local hospital, begging. But the biggest thing that happened in the cave is where we can now, what we now have as his spiritual exercises were written in that cave. And so, you know, basically, again, the spiritual exercises is this path that he offers through scripture, basically, to come into a deeper knowing, even more loving, and a closer following of Christ. And so he took pen to paper and scribbled notes, and we got to see some of his original drafts of the exercises.
Oh, wow.
And you know, but that what still exists today, so mm-hmm. that many, I mean, thousands and thousands of people have made his spiritual exercises.
Right.
And again, they're a pathway. I keep calling it a pathway. They are a beautiful pathway to come to know, love, and follow Christ.
And it's something that just continues to this day, these exercises and everything. They still apply. Everyone is still faithful to them. And you're doing that, too, as far as retreats go and such. We're not watering down what he did, right?
No, absolutely not. To stay kind of true to his path.
Yeah.
I mean, which is, I always tell people, his path is a path through scripture.
Yeah.
The way his exercises are rooted in, the what he lays out for someone to walk with, it's a unique kind of arrangement of scripture. So he invites people, and again, whether we're walking with someone 101 or on a retreat, like in our local area, like Manresa Retreat House, they go through, take men through the journey of the retreat, Grand Coteau, that retreat house. And so the pathway he lays out is where he says, we're going to first spend time on God's love. Then we're going to move into God's mercy, which also includes looking at where do we need God's mercy, right? Our sin, our brokenness. And then there is a very close walk with Jesus from Jesus's birth all the way through his public ministry and then through his passion, death, and then resurrection and sending us forth.
Well,
and so
that's,
when someone
that's
makes
incredible.
Exercises,
yeah.
it is
I think it's wonderful that you're doing this, and I mean that you're going to keeping this going forward. Okay, so folks are going to be looking you up. What do we do? We you know, so we can continue on this journey with you. What can we do?
Yes, so I'd love for people to come follow along and be part of it. There's all a beautiful community gathering, and we're gathering more spiritual directors and pastoral care ministers and Ignatian retreat facilitators. So if people want to come look up IgnatianMinistries.org, they can come find about it and join a retreat. We'd love to have them.
Becky, thank you for joining us. I appreciate that. And keep up the good work.
Always love being with y'all. I hope y'all have a good day, okay?
Oh, God bless.
Damien? Okay. Wrap up with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen, in honor of St. Ignatius. Another one of his prayers. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given it all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Ignatius, pray for us. What a beautiful prayer.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.